Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Well, hello. I am fresh back from my holiday. I got in at about 9 p.m. last night. Alf was so good on the flight. I felt really calm, really relaxed. I had a lovely time away. And then at 1 a.m, hysterical crying from Alf's room, which I could not stop until 5 a.m. And I had to be up at 8 a.m. for work. So I'm here. But I'm struggling. That is, I feel like hashtag mum life through and through. But I'm really, really excited about today's guest and to get to chat to her about so many things. She is an incredible actress, both on TV and in theatre. She actually won everyone's favourite TV show, BBC Strictly Come Dancing. And I'm going to say arguably your most important role is that you're a mum of two. It's Cara Toynton.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming in, especially because I feel like we've had a similar 24 hours.
Well, it's funny because you've pushed on through and I was about to give up, wasn't I? So you've made me feel a bit... I text on the way here saying I can't do it, but I've pushed through.
But to be fair, I get it. So that's why I was like, honestly, I so understand.
Like, well, if you need to cancel... On the plane, you were having a nice time for it. And I thought, you lucky thing. But then it all kicked off later on.
So did you get a flight yesterday?
So we were flying back from Norway yesterday and we had to do a transfer and the kids were brilliant. And then while we were on the first flight, they said they'd put us automatically on a later flight because of a delay. We ran. I mean, I haven't done that much cardio in a while, so it's really kicked me into shape. But we ran, we made the flight, but they wouldn't let us on. And then from that moment, it was a downhill spiral of doom. And I ended up being that mum with their youngest screaming for 1 hour 40 of a 1 hour 50 flight. And it was, oh God, I knew it was coming. I think everyone, it's one of those things you have to go through, but it's tough.
It's really hard, isn't it? Because I remember to pre-mum Ashley, I cringe a lot at like my attitudes on lots of things. I've talked about before, you know, I had this kind of like weird, like inner misogyny against mums, even though I considered myself a feminist. But I would say really cringy things like, oh, they shouldn't let babies on flights, or so annoying, like they need to shut their babies up. And now I'm like, I had a lovely lady next to her. So Tommy was by the window. He got the lucky seat. I was in the middle and then this lady, and I said straight away, I'm so sorry if Alf isn't good. And I hate the word good because I mean they're babies. And she was like, don't worry, those three are mine, and just pointed opposite. So she was so nice, and it just makes the world of difference, doesn't it? Because what I have come to realize is no parent wants their child to be upset on the plane, and forget everyone else on the plane. Well, of course that is a factor because you're embarrassed because you don't want to be that family, but you don't want your child to be upset. So it's almost like, I don't really care about you lot, but like you can also just put your headphones on and relax.
Well, I did realize that nowadays most people have actually got the headphones in, so we can relax a bit. But you highlight those caricature sort of stereotypes of the man that's, you know, shaking his head and that sort of beams at you. And I have a way, you do sort of zone out of it, don't you? And most people, I have to say, are so genuinely supportive. And I was the same. Sorry. And but I think it's just something that you have to get through. And once you've got through it, then you plan for the next time. But they do get better. I think it's just one of those things. But you had it through the night, didn't you?
Well, actually on my way, so I went to Cyprus. It was a really last minute holiday. Tommy and I decided we were both like burnt out and we wanted to get away. On the way out, so we went from Gatwick to Paphos, a man actually did come up to us and asked us to stop our baby from crying. And all I'm going to say is it's very, very lucky that Tommy was between me and that man. I made a rookie error. And if you are planning to go with your child, baby, do not forget Calpol, because it really does help them with their little ears, I'm sure. But I forgot Calpol. I since found out from a lovely air hostess that messaged me on Instagram that apparently BA have Calpol on the plane. So you can ask.
Well, that is something to remember.
Yeah, but Alf was like really upset. And it's horrible because we all remember being children and not knowing how to pop our ears. Like, I definitely remember I used to hate taking off, and especially when they're too young to even give them sweets.
You know, you can't have that chat with them at that stage. And it's the worst. So terrifying for you and for, you know, what it just is, a magnified horrific moment. And so what did you say?
Well, luckily, like I said, Tom was between me and him, but I was like, I'm trying to stop him from crying. Like, I don't want my child to be upset. And I really wanted to be like, I mean, I don't even know if I can use the F word on my own podcast, but I wanted to be that person. But also I was a bit like, how embarrassing if like nobody knows the context. And like, even, not that I presume I'm recognizable, by the way, but if one person were to be like, you'll never guess who is like kicking off on the plane.
But it's the one moment you'll lose it. You know, when you sometimes... That's the thing. Morris was really good on the flight, and I was getting a bit, you know, I was tired, and but he said if, you know, if he'd seen the guy, then yeah, it's not.
I was going to say, I wonder if our paths crossed, because when you gave birth to your second child, Helly, you gave birth on the 8th of January in Chelsea and Westminster. Mm-hmm. I gave birth on the 9th of January in Chelsea and Westminster, but I came in on the 8th.
Well, that, because I think I heard that you were there, but it was like the day after tomorrow. When I say that, it was derelict, wasn't it? Did you find it really eerie?
So weirdly, because by the time I got to hospital, I was just in like such a world of pain. And by the way, don't worry, I'm not going to put a trigger warning because we don't need to talk about births. They just put us straight into the birthing suite. And then weirdly, I'm not quite sure why, but we left hospital after 4 hours. So I actually didn't go into any of the wards at all.
Obviously, Helly was my second. So because of my first experience of birth, I opted for a C-section. So it was a really strange experience from my first, going in and it being quite civilized and like having your nails done or something. And I felt very odd about it. And because ultimately, although it's a chilled, you know, you can prepare, it's bizarre going in one day and coming home with your baby the next. But I think at that time they were pushing people to get home as quickly as possible. And actually, I think that had a big aftermath effect for me. It was too soon, because I'd forgotten that the first time around I did have that 24 hours in hospital where I guess I healed slightly, but you forget so quickly, don't you? You forget, and that's why I'm so chuffed that you're, you know, sort of flying the flag for this talk and the aftermath, because it's incredible when friends give advice or you hear advice and you think that doesn't quite sound right. And the reason why it doesn't sound right is because things move so quickly. So you're only able to really give advice on the moment you're in now, because everything else is a blur. And unless, I wish I'd written down everything, because did you?
No, and I'm the same, because even when friends will be like, I'm pregnant, what do I need to know? And I'm like, shit. And then in my head, I'm like, get sleep while you can, or, you know, all the really yeah, annoying things that you are like, just you wait. And you're like, I will not turn into that person. But yeah, even like newborn gifts for friends or friends' babies, I'm like, I can't remember anything. I literally can't remember. So yeah, I feel like writing it down is actually a good tip for new mums, because you forget, don't you? And actually a lovely gift a friend of mine bought me, which I never wrote, but I need to, is she just bought me a lovely, I think it was from Papier, but I mean, other notebooks are available. And she said, write down letters to Alf, like for the future, and start it in pregnancy. And I just didn't do it, but I might start doing it, because even like first words, and you know, you forget so quickly, don't you? And then you look back and you're like, oh, they were so little. Or I wonder what their first word was, because you kind of forget all the...
Yeah, well, that actually comes into the app that I've developed, and the reason why we did it. It was all those things of memories and keeping sort of voice notes to document the importance of voice. Back in, I guess it was 2019, when I had Frey, my first, we were... discussing it, you know, it's a life-changing thing, isn't it, when you have your first child. And we were thinking about things, and at the time my mum was quite ill, and we were documenting little conversations, recipes that mum cooked us that we loved, and we would voice it all on the recorder. And it's something that I'm not ready to listen to yet, because I lost my mum.
Yeah, I'm really sorry, by the way. I did read and see that.
Thank you. Yeah, well, that's my sort of venture of being pregnant and having my children has kind of been around that dynamic of introducing, you know,
loss and life
and rite of passage, and such a contradiction between the two. So when I hear conversations of birth, etc., I have such a different sort of outlook on it, because when I was pregnant with Frey, I guess I didn't even think about being pregnant, because I was on this journey of fighting this other cause. And I guess ordinarily I would have planned and prepped and done all the, you know, the kind of practice hypnobirthing courses and all of that stuff. But I just wasn't, that's not where my head was at. So when I had Frey, we had 3 months with my mom, and we would just talk. And so we decided to develop an app. And my partner, his grandfather has this beautiful voice. And I said, we must get him to record a story for Frey in his native Norwegian, because it's beautiful and it would be lovely to have. So all these conversations sort of spurred on the idea of an app that's storytelling, basically, but memory building. And as we've developed, it sort of came out in actually weirdly at the beginning of the first lockdown. And that was a bit of a tester. We saw how people were using it. And the way I use it is with Frey. So I log onto the app, and you can either narrate many stories that we've rewritten to suit audio and enjoyment of reading, because reading in mind is quite different to reading out loud. Mm-hmm. So there's that option with it, or you can narrate yourself. And that's what we're sort of, you know, pushing for people to get on there and narrate and send to their family and loved ones. And it's open. So if someone's really good at the speaking and storytelling, they could be the voice that we listen to. So it's a kind of public audible for enjoyment. But the way I use it is that with Frey coming up to nearly 4, we go on there and we discuss what we've done in our day or our week. And it becomes this diary of what we've been up to, but also a diary of the development of his voice. But that came about by accident, because I thought that would be of interest. But when I started listening back and to see the change, it's so quick. And then I sent it to my sister and she loved it. And then I could see that there was something to that, and that you would come back to it in years to come. And it's kind of in a safe space, and we tell each other stories. So I'll say something and then he'll repeat it back. But he really, even at that age, enjoys thinking of new things to say. So it's become something... quite special accidentally, really, and it's become something that I didn't realize it would be at the beginning.
I feel like that's really beautiful as well, because in other cultures, and something that we've potentially lost in our culture, is the kind of idea of storytelling, and you know, stories even coming from your elders. Like, even when I became a mum, I thought a lot about what my parents were like with me.
And you've never thought about that before. Yeah. But you suddenly think, oh my goodness, wow, they went through this.
Here with this like bundle of joy, and then I became a teenager and all of those issues. But you know, whatever it might be. Or my granddad died when I was 2, and my parents would always tell me stories of like how much he loved me. But if I'd have been able to listen to like, I guess his storytelling, to me, it's such a lovely thing to have to look back on.
Yeah, life happens so quickly. And as I say, even now, I'm not ready to listen to the recordings we had of my mum, but the fact that they're there is just something that's really comforting to me. And I look forward to listening to that with my kids. And so, yeah, it's been really interesting. And I've got so many ideas with it because I'm dyslexic, and with the kids, you know, learning to read and all these things, I can't wait to, you know, get developing and get some new ideas on board. And so it's a bit of a journey.
What's the name of the app, by the way?
It's called Tellapp.
Tellapp. And I'm going to make sure we put all the information below so everyone can check it out. But it sounds amazing. I'd love to talk to you about your journey becoming a new mom, if we rewind all the way back to that time with Frey, because like for me personally, I really struggled with becoming a mom. And even though I feel like I was so excited in pregnancy, and I know that everybody has different journeys due to different circumstances with birth, but the first 4 months for me, I was like, this is the most amazing thing in the world. I want 10 children. This is amazing. I can't believe I used to say I didn't want children. This is so wonderful. And I don't mind the sleepless nights and all of this. It's all worth it. And then I kind of reached a point of totally burnt out. And I think it coincided with the end of lockdown. And then I was suddenly like, oh my God, everyone's back out. And I can't go anywhere because I'm stuck at home breastfeeding. And, you know, even as a DJ, like DJ work started coming out again. And I was like, I can't. I tried to do it. I actually did Boardmasters whilst breastfeeding, which, to be fair, looking back, it was way too early. I shouldn't have done it, but I was so worried about missing out on that old life. But what was your experience?
Yeah, well, I guess we will be the school of the COVID time. And I hate the word so much. You know when you hear it.
The C word. The C, but not word. This, but BC. Not the first C word you think of.
No, that's true. Definitely the second.
Because was Frey a pre-lockdown baby and then lockdown came? Yeah. And so you had both experiences.
And what was really strange, I suppose, was that with everything that happened the first time round, in a way, when you losing my mum, you know, when people say I felt like my world stopped and the rest of the world kept going. And then the world actually did stop exactly as almost a year later. And so I was put in this bubble that I kind of needed to be in. And I was grateful for that, even though obviously it was horrendous and you wouldn't wish it again. But you took from it what you took from it. And it was just such a strange thing, wasn't it? But then when I became pregnant with Helly, and it was through lockdown, I was very similar in that I think we were just in this little cocoon and we were allowed to be, and it was okay. And then as soon as the green light went, it was just a bit overwhelming. And I got offered a job and you thought, oh God, well, yeah, I've got to do it. And then in hindsight, it was way too soon. I was, yeah, breastfeeding Helly and doing 8 shows a week. And it was a show that was a lot of fun. It was very lighthearted. It was the Windsors. It was really fun. But I took it on thinking it was a bit of a breeze, but I ended up sort of hanging from ropes and flying. And I didn't know this was going to be Cirque du Soleil, you know, in the comedy of it. It was just really full on, and it was too much. And Helly wasn't sleeping. And I learned a lot from that. And you can't go back and do it again. But I wish someone had said, no, you can't do this. But we are plunged into this new realm of believing we can do everything. And I think in the next 20 years, there'll be a conversation, which I think you're starting, that can we do everything? And what is the sort of knock-on effect of that, you know, going forwards? And we can only say in hindsight, because I think I had a vision of parenthood being what my mum was, but I never had that discussion with Marius because I just thought that that's what it would be. But of course, we don't live like that anymore.
I wonder if, you know, we're really lucky to be in the generation that we're in where, you know, feminism is working its magic. There's still a way to go, but we can do both. How possible it is another conversation, but the expectation is still on the woman. And this is obviously like really generalizing and talking about heterosexual relationships, but I don't know, for me personally, like Tommy and I have always been equal in our relationship. So when we found out we were having a baby, we were like 50-50 parenting, yay. And then he went back to work after his paternity leave of 2 weeks. And then I was stuck at home. And it, well, I think it also coincided, I don't know with what football tournament, but maybe the Euros or something. So he was going out, and by the way, he's really respectful, but football's like his biggest passion in life, and it was on, and I, who am I to deny a guy going out with his friends to watch the Euros? And it was a really exciting time for him. But I remember getting this like major FOMO of being sat at home, but also the kind of resentment that built up and the arguments that we were having, because I was like, it's not fair, like you wanted this baby as well and I'm stuck at home and I'm having to do everything. And I kind of suddenly felt like I'm back in the 1950s. And then Tommy would like do the basics, like pick Alf up, and people would swoon over him. But it's so nice to see a hands-on dad. And I was like, I've got stitches and I'm doing it, and people barge me out the way. So I feel like we're in this weird stage where we can do everything, but we're also expected to do it all. And I'm hopeful that in the next 20 years, actually it will be more, I say equal, like obviously there is like a biology that exists, like if Tommy could have breastfed, yeah. I'm sure he kept saying, I wish I had boobs.
I know, it's so true, because I think they would really enjoy being part of that. But yeah, I'm similar to you. I think becoming a mother, the feminist movement within me has really kind of riled because it does, doesn't it? It's kind of, it's been there, but it's just come to its, you know, full.
I think as well, like being, God, this, when I say this and it's true, but it sounds so weird to say, being a more experienced mother now, having a toddler. Mm-hmm. So weird. I still find it so weird that I'm a mom, so saying that sentence. What I've realized is let's say even the first year, like for me personally, and I'm sure for lots of people, it feels so intense. And at times you're like, what have I done? I don't recognize me or my life anymore. And it feels sometimes like a prison, especially if the baby's not sleeping and you're just in this cycle of like, I don't know what day it is. I don't know who I am anymore. And, you know, going through all these like mental, physical, psychological changes. But now I'm like, oh, it actually does come, that chapter comes to an end. So maybe I'd get less caught up in worrying about the day to day of that and actually be able to relax and enjoy it more. Did you find that with Helly, that you were able to enjoy it more the second time around?
Yeah, for sure I was able to. And of course, then there's the dynamic of having your eldest and your youngest, and they're at different points, and then you feel guilty to each, and you think, oh, should we have left a bigger gap and all these things. But
what is the age gap?
So about 2.5 years. So that, I would say it's better. It's a nice gap, because Frey was able to kind of, you know, be involved in a kind of, he knew what was going on, and that was really good. And I know that I can see the sort of dynamic between them is so lovely already, and that's going to get easier as they do the same things.
There's a lot I want to talk to you about around becoming a mum for the second time.
Yeah.
Mainly because I
know.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that's why.
Oh my God. I've heard exclusive stuff.
Exclusive. So I was in London today doing tests and seeing the baby kick. I don't know, obviously, yet the sex, but.
Will you find out?
Yeah, I will, because I'm such an impatient person. And I like to know and to prepare. And actually, with Alf, I had an element of gender disappointment, which I know is like, we shouldn't say, and blah, blah, blah. But I think I was so longing for a little girl because of all the things I've been through. And I had this vision, I was going to have this amazing relationship with a girl. And now I'm actually delighted. And actually the second time round, whilst I would love to think I'd have a little girl, I'm actually just happy.
Just to be pregnant.
And to have a healthy baby, and to experience it again, and to experience out of lockdown.
It's quite funny actually, because I think the trouble with not knowing is it's only exciting if you genuinely have a sort of 50-50. My sister's just had her first.
Aww.
And so what's funny about it is that because on Joe's side, my sister's partners, there's only boys, and every professional, even down to the scan, they accidentally said he at one point. So they've just gone along thinking well, it is a boy. And everyone who said that, you know, the shape game and everything, oh, you're having a boy. So when they finally had the girl, I mean, it was really brilliant, but it was just knocked them for six because they had no, that just wasn't. So it's only kind of, they hadn't even decided on a girl's name. It had gone that far. So it's quite.
That's so funny. So did they leave it as a surprise?
Left it as a surprise. And for me, that was the one thing that I could sort of, because I didn't really believe it was happening, I needed to know just to grab hold of it a bit. And I'm similar. I just have to know because I can't wait.
But what was it like experiencing pregnancy the second time? Because that's what I find so different now. And there's an element because the first time was lockdown for me, but I feel like I just don't even have time to think about it. And the first time, and I was like, I mustn't lift a finger. And now I've like got Alf hanging off my hip at all times.
Exactly. I think in a way, it's a really nice thing the second time, because the chilled Richter scale of is down here compared to, you're just worrying the first time about everything, aren't you? And you just remember the feelings. But some people have different pregnancies, don't they, each time? So mm-hmm. I mean, mine were really similar. The morning sickness was very similar, and so I kind of, apart from that one bit, I actually, you take your wins, don't you? And I really enjoyed being pregnant. And so
what was it like later on with a toddler?
Yeah, I think that's the bit, is that you think, God, the first time around I could just relax, and you know, so now and then that time you haven't got a choice, but you just got to carry on.
That's what I'm worried about, like, especially because I had really bad pelvic girdle pain the first time around. I mean, I couldn't even go to sit on the loo on my own. Tommy would have to like help me down. Yeah. And I'm like, what am I going to do when I've got a really big bump? And we still rock out to sleep in the nursing chair. I mean, he's way too old, but we enjoy it. But I'm like, when I have a bump, like, where's he going to fit? Like, there's barely enough space for him. No, just like wrapping around the bump.
Sort of make it work within the... that's going to be something that I think... There's a time where you're not allowed to lift anything.
Okay, so I guess we have to figure it out by then.
Warm into that, so he's prepared for it, and Tommy will have to.
I'm actually thinking of doing a toddler bed, but I feel like that's a conversation for another time. But I can imagine him enjoying a bit like lying down with us to sleep, as opposed to the rocking. Because I mean, he's way too big for us anyway.
No, but it's so. Does he sleep?
So in what his do you mean? Cot. Basically, for the first year, he was in our bed. And then there was like a really long transition of me sleeping on a mattress with him next to his cot. And now he goes in his cot, but as long as we rock him to sleep first.
It's like the ceremony of sleeping.
Yeah. Everyone says like the second one, you'll just have like thrown in there.
Exactly. Won't have such a luxury experience. But it's funny, isn't it? Because at the moment, Frey, I still sleep with him a lot. And I've never been one to plan or have too many sort of regimented directions on anything, because I think circumstance is circumstance and you do what you do and eventually they grow out of things. I suppose that having two means that it forces you to do certain things, but in a way that's also helpful, that it kind of, you know, you've got no choice but to like move on.
The ultimate podcast for Married at First Sight fans is here. This is Recapped at First Sight.
The new podcast keeping you up to date on all the love, fallouts, drama and secrets as the Married at First Sight UK bride and grooms try to make happy couples.
And we're your happy couple right here, in a professional sense, of course. Join me, Kat Shube.
And me, former MASH UK groom Bob Voisey, every morning after you've watched the latest episode on TV.
Plus, we'll have some special guests along the way enjoying our very own wedding breakfast.
You bit the caterers, right?
About that. Recapped at First Sight. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, that is. I feel like it's good advice for all new parents, actually, just to say go with the flow, because you're right, we try to like control things or plan things. And even so many things that I said when I was pregnant of like, I'll go back to work in this amount of time, or I'll do this, I'll never let my child sleep in my bed, I'll never do this, I'll breastfeed for 6 months, or whatever all the things that we say, we actually don't know. And I never thought I would be the person to co-sleep for 12 months, because I was like, even when my friend used to come around to my house, she was like, oh, I'm a bit nervous because I've left the kids with like a babysitter from an app that I've not met before. And I was like, what's the problem? It's fine. And now I'm like, I can't leave him. Even with people he knows, I'm like, but you don't know his bedtime routine.
And it's such a, isn't it, of these statements you make to yourself and out loud that you think, oh God, what, I didn't have a clue. And it also then spurs on to other things, subjects in life that you have these statements and you think, until you know and you're going through it, you have no right really to make any statement, because you do what you do and you do your best. I mean, I was in, so at Christmas, I suddenly had this double buggy and I was going around Liberty with my sister and the kids. And in Liberties, it's beautiful. And I just wanted to experience that beautiful magic of Christmas. And I, apparently my sister, I think you become immune to sort of wraths coming towards you. But my sister said, that woman just said, what were they thinking bringing that in here? And it's true. I mean, like you said, I would have gone, what are they thinking, the twits? But I was in my bubble and I just, you still have to do things. And you just, I think you know, you can't not go out because you've suddenly got two kids. And I don't know what my point is.
No, it's
here,
funny though,
just...
isn't it? It's like really recently, I don't know if you saw, there was like this big, I think it started as a tweet, and then as it does, kind of was sensationalized all over the press, that a comedian at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival said that his show was ruined because somebody took their child into theatre and they didn't stop crying, which, by the way, even as a parent, I understand that's really shit. I don't think I would take my child to the theatre, but I understand why people do. Probably should have left at the moment they started crying, but it happens. So I understand his frustration, but I saw this article in reaction to it being like, mums need to realize there's a place for children and there isn't a place for children. So I was hooked. I was like, okay, yeah, I understand that. So then I clicked on it and it was like seeing mums taking up, it was like sitting on the streets having coffees with their prams taking up space in the pavement. And I was like, sorry, would you like us to, during like one of the most life-altering experiences of life where you feel so vulnerable and you want connection with other new moms or even just your old friends or whatever it is, you don't want us to go outside, like you don't want us on pavement. And then it said restaurants, and I was like, again, I understand adult only restaurants would be very tempting. If I had a night off to Tommy, I'd be like, I probably won't go to the Rainforest Cafe. I'll go somewhere nice where hopefully there's no children. But like, can we presume children aren't allowed in restaurants? And I was like, wow, like people are really unforgiving.
Really, but again,
if Tommy walked down the street with a pram, he'd have probably the same woman who wrote the article swooning, being like, oh, it's so nice to see dads out with their babies. Lovely. Hands on dad, daddy daycare.
Does Tommy notice it?
He notices it because I point it out.
Yeah.
Like I said to him, he went to LA for work for a week. He works in tech. And I think actually your partner works in tech.
Yeah.
So I said to him when he got back, I was like, did anybody ask you who was looking after the children? And he was like, oh, it's the children. I mean, Alf. I was like, did anyone ask you who was looking after Alf? And he was like, no. And I was like, that's funny, because if I ever get a DJ gig or an event, that's the first question that people ask, like, who's looking after Alf? And I'm like, the other parent? Is that okay? And they're like, oh, that's so nice that he helps. And I'm like, he doesn't help. He literally is the other parent.
It's so funny. And because I'm naturally an apologetic. I've got a friend, Sophie, who everything that she goes through, she's already on the sort of, I guess, the relaxed foot of if anyone sort of comes with anything like that, it's all very chilled. Whereas I'm on the front foot of apologizing for it. And it's sort of on the plane last night, the air hostess, at first she came over and said, is he not well? And of course, it was like nearly 9 o'clock at night because of, you know, the delays, etc. And it was just way past his bedtime. But then you go on this rampage of explanation, and then you think, oh, and you're then suddenly in this kind of, you're just apologizing for everything. And I wish that could be eliminated, but it's sort of instilled in us sometimes.
Do you know what? I've actually learned or taught myself. I used to be such a people pleaser, and I've learned a lot not to apologize, especially I feel like as a woman in business, I feel like I would always start emails like, hello, sorry to trouble you. Sorry for even emailing. Sorry for existing. But yeah, now I really try to be assertive. But also weirdly, I feel worried about what people think in lots of spaces in life. But motherhood almost gave me this new fight, especially breastfeeding and all the kind of controversy that surrounds it, as if like it should be controversial at all to feed your child however you want to feed your child, but it almost gave me more fight to be like, no, like this is my right. And like, you know, if I take after a restaurant, I have just as much right to be in that restaurant as anyone else. And also, children aren't good or bad, they're children. Like, and when did we learn? And I put myself in this bracket, by the way, because like I said earlier, I was the most judgmental person about children before I was a mother. And I cringe now because I'm like, when did we like expect children to not be children? And even people who say they hate children or don't want children, which are perfectly valid.
They were still children.
They were still children at some point. And also their mum or dad were those vulnerable parents at some point as well, and their siblings might be parents or their friends might be parents. So it's like, where does
that chip sort of go missing, that the understanding that this is life and this is the only way we're here.
I feel like we shouldn't apologize for our children being children.
You're absolutely right, because I feel that it's my default. I've crossed that point, but the default in tiredness is to revert, and that's when I sort of, you know, get agitated with myself, because that you shouldn't, because you're almost letting us all down if you start to go on.
No, I don't think you're letting anyone down, but I feel like it's a good thing for all of us, especially mums who do feel like so apologetic. Or I think because as well, there's a lot of not nastiness aimed at mums, but like judgment aimed at mums, like the idea that a mother shouldn't be on the street with a pram. Like, what would you like us to do? Where should we go? Like, do you just want us to sit inside until they're four and then come back out into the world?
Well, there'd be like zones, wouldn't there, of like just motherhood zones, or, you know. And actually it was Morris, because last night I said, maybe they should think about having a sort of child zone on the plane, and, you know, then we wouldn't have that sort of meltdown of guilt. And he said, well, why though? Because actually no one care, or no one should care. So yeah,
I'm still like, oh, I hope I'm not sat next to any other children. And Tommy's like, you have one. And I'm like, I know, but then I don't want, if I have a moment of peace, I don't want to disturb by someone else's child.
You're only immune to your own child's meltdowns.
Another thing I'd like to talk to you about, by the way, especially because I still trying to, I mean, and I know you can't plan births, but I'm still trying to decide what route I would like to go down with the birth of my second. And I was recommended after a birth debrief that I should have an elective C-section because I was stitched up wrong, and the size of Alf, 9.5 pounds the first time, and the difficulty of that. What was it like for you? I know we touched on it earlier, but I hadn't told you that I was having another one then. So
I know.
What was it like for you to compare the different experiences? Because I think with Frey, you ended up having an emergency C-section, but obviously you went in
openly.
Yeah,
I was all for the birth centre and at St Mary's, which I visited, and it was fantastic. And I thought, oh, it's just, idyllic. And I wonder if they looked at me then and thought, because I, when you go to sort of be introduced to it all, I was sat on the end and there was, you know, the 15 other couples who had all been to classes and all very prepared. And I was at the end, the only one who had literally done nothing, but was open to just giving it a go. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I'm one of these people, I'll do my best in the moment. And I didn't feel I, at that point in sort of what was going on, I could take on too much information. So yeah, I was all up for the au naturel. And then sort of 3 days later, after going, you know, back and forth, being sent home, they ended up, I had to be put up to the maternity ward. Ended up having everything epidural the next morning, just about to have him, and his heart rate started to drop. So it was all very rushed, and it was an emergency cesarean. So the second time, it was quite good actually, because the doctor came and she said, you know, I don't want you to be put off if you have any more children, because the likeliness is that your body's done it all now. So actually you could really give it a go. But, and this was something that I really debated for a long time, because I really wanted to try. But because everything personally had been quite traumatic, I just decided for me, I'd already been through the C-section. And you know, with advice, I always think that's really big as well. That I don't give myself a hard time about it anymore, because it is what it is. And it felt really bizarre going in for an elective, but it was the right choice for me. And he was fine. And you know, we got there and they said, have you got a playlist that you'd like to? I mean, it's just so, it's total opposite. And so I think if they've suggested, I mean, how do you?
I'm actually still in two minds, because when I take myself back to my first birth, I was begging for a C-section. And, you know, I really felt probably a similar story to you, like, the trauma of that, I wouldn't be prepared to go through that again. And by the way, I really strongly believe that any birth is a birth, like, and you have the right to celebrate that birth. And I have friends that have had cesareans, and they had really beautiful births, and I would love to have that beautiful birth. But I think because I've got Alf, I'm worried about what the recovery would be with a C-section, and would I still be able to pick him up and all of those things. So
well, yeah, I mean, I was so shocked because it all happened and it was out of my control. I was pretty shocked at how quickly I recovered, touch wood. I mean, that's not always the case, but you have to take your wins. And I was really lucky that I stayed in for two nights, I think. And then I recovered really quickly, probably too quickly. I was driving 3 days later. And I didn't realize you weren't allowed to, but... I mean, I was mental. I didn't know anything. And then someone said, no. I guess I feel that maybe some, it's so personal, isn't it? But some C-sections you can have a quicker recovery than natural birth. Yeah. And obviously there's just different, you know, pitfalls and positives to each. And I think that don't rush into making any decision, because it will sort of just come when it comes, and you don't need to rush into that, I don't think. I don't know, do you?
No, I don't think I do yet, but no, it's good advice. And also nice to know that you can have like a beautiful
second birth. Oh, for sure. My second experience. The only thing that I wish I'd fought for was to stay in. I remembered my first birth and how quickly I recovered, and I just assumed that the second time it would be the same, and had forgotten the actual timings and had rushed it on the second one because we were going home. And I think actually that then put me back a week and I couldn't move. But had you just taken the initial sort of 48 hours, I reckon, of rest, then it's quite a quick recovery.
I feel like that's good advice for everyone who gives birth, no matter how they give birth. It's like, try not to do too much too soon. Cara, thank you so much. It's been so nice to talk to you, especially because you're the first mum of two that I've gotten to speak to since finding out I'm soon to be a mum of two as well. Thank you. And thank you to all of you guys for listening to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. I hope that you found that conversation as interesting as I did. And if you did enjoy it, then don't forget to hit the subscribe or follow button. I always feel like such a YouTuber. I need to find like a better way to say all of this. But yeah, if you subscribe or follow, then you never miss an episode. And as always, I do love to hear from you. So you can get in touch. Either you can email in askmumsthewordpod@gmail.com, especially if we've covered topics that you found interesting, or maybe you want us to cover something that we haven't. I say us, but like it's more than just me, but me and my guests. Or you can even leave a voice message, which is free on WhatsApp. And the number for that is 075-999-27-537. And that is exactly what Lizzie did. So this is her voice note.
I'm getting in touch with a couple of avid followers of yours for years, and we also went through pregnancy and childbirth around a really similar time. My little boy Isaac was born in February, and I know you had your little boy back in January 2021, of course. I'm sorry for all the noise in the background. I'm sitting here on holiday. It's given me a real opportunity to sit and just reflect on many things as I've been listening to lots of episodes of your delightful podcast. Something that I've been thinking about, and I don't know if this is the right forum to get your view on this, apologies if not, and equally, you're super busy, so if you don't have time to get back to me, don't worry about it. But with lots of the things that I've been listening to in terms of the issues that you've raised and on other sort of various parenting podcasts, and also speaking to lots of my friends who are mums, something that we all seem to be feeling is this idea that, like, for example, if you go through an NCT route or whatever, that it's incredibly outdated and actually fairly sort of, I don't know, perpetuates all those misogynistic issues that we've talked about and things that you raised in the toxic masculinity podcast with Matt Pinkett, which was just brilliant. I keep coming back to this idea, and I just have no idea how to even think about making it work. But anyway, I've come to my reaching out to somebody like yourself. But I just feel like there's such a massive opportunity to create a different approach to sort of education around childbirth, like that focuses in short on childbirth and like what to expect, but equally to fully equip dads with information to support their partners better through the postpartum period, what to expect in terms of how your relationship might change, equally like physically what happens to a woman after childbirth and you know how that can manifest itself, then the mental challenges you might face, things like postnatal depression and postpartum PTSD, which I've been diagnosed with both of those things. And I know that you have experience with them also. Anyway, I feel like this could be a voice note that rambles on and on and on and on. But it's just an idea. And I just feel like it's such a massive opportunity. And somebody like you, who's incredibly influential and such an amazing voice for women, I just wondered if you had any thoughts on it. But okay, if you don't have time to get back to me, then that's absolutely fine too. I'm going to do a bit more self-catching around this because I really want to find a way to make it happen. Anyway, lots of love. Please keep up the most amazing work. And thank you for being such an amazing spearhead in terms of the campaign to just, make things better for mums and women more generally, as you had done.
Oh, that was really nice. Thanks, Izzy.
That's really nice.
You didn't do NCT, did you?
I didn't, no. And I would have done had things been different. So that was just my personal experience. Did you?
No, I did. It was lockdown. So I actually did a online course just between Tommy and I. But from speaking to people on the podcast, I don't know from experience. And I believe that every NCT group is different, but I have heard rumors and had confirmation from friends that in their areas that when it comes to talking about vaginas and what happens, they send the men to get a cup of tea because obviously they can't hear about vaginas.
Seriously?
And then they kind of give this really brief information. And I think it is really good to be prepared for birth, but I think, you know, there's only so much really that you can prepare for. And I think from what I understand, and from what I learned from the course I did in hypnobirthing, they kind of prepare you for afterwards with the baby, but not so much for you and what you're going through. And I mean, I only just found out, I'm 35 years old, and I only just found out that a vagina is not even a vagina, it's a vulva, the outside bit. And
you learn something new every day.
And I,
I knew, but you're right. You don't really know enough. And
even as mums, we still say, and I say we very generally, we still call it down there. And I remember in my pregnancy, someone saying, oh, I really recommend putting evening primrose oil down there, up there. And I was like, sorry, can we just confirm, are we talking about the vagina or the bum? Because I really don't want to spend time putting oil up the wrong place. But even after going through this, like, we don't use biological words. And I think our generation, there's like a lot of like shame around it, isn't it? We're like,
I'm really shocked about the sending the men off. I thought we had come through that.
Yeah, and all I know is that I agree with you, Izzy, that I think there is space for there to be something more updated, and I'd love to have been prepared for some of the resentment that I would feel. I say I'm lucky because I have a partner who helps, which, I mean, that should be the standard. But I feel like we were totally unprepared for so much of it, and luckily I was comfortable talking about prolapse and fecal incontinence and all of those things that I experienced. And luckily, Tommy's mum was a nurse, so he's really not flabbergasted. He doesn't make him queasy.
Yeah, but in some terms, a lot of partners would be. And yeah, it's talking, isn't it? And it's, I mean, I suppose it's different from group to group and town to town and how people go about it. But it is just a discussion. And she's right, you are kind of raising all these discussions, and when I see you on your Instagram talking about things, and you know, you realize that, you know, and for me, talking about my experience with birth and grief all coming at once, it's only when you really hear someone talking about it who's been through it that you kind of think about it, isn't it? And it helps.
And we still kind of have this announcement of like mother and baby doing fine. And before, I was excited to give birth the first time because I was like, I can't wait to find out what happens to the vagina because no one talks about it. I know that's like so weird, but I was like, finally,
like the final episode of a really good season of something.
Because it would always just be 10. Like mother and baby doing fine, and I was like, how can they be fine? They've just pushed a baby out. Like, what happens? But I think it's a really good comment, and definitely food for thought. And funnily enough, my pelvic health physio, Marta Kinsella, who I talk about and praise all the time, she said actually the biggest issues in relationships with new mums, and she said to me, by the way, I'm sure she said 18 months, but she was like, most parents don't have sex after childbirth for an average of something like 18 months. And that's really interesting to me because I still think there's this sort of like pressure that we feel as women because of the old backdated, like, if you don't service your man, he'll leave you for someone who does. And I remember with Tommy being like, I'm really sorry, I'm just like really worried about my stitches and like, I'm just not in the mood yet. And obviously I had Alf in the bed, like breastfeeding. And he was like, do you think I want to have sex with you? Like, I also saw what your body's gone through. I'd be so scared of hurting you. And I was like, oh, you're not just like a caveman with a stick. Like, yeah, so.
No, but you're right. I mean, nobody talks about it, and that's when you think of your parents and you think, and I even asked my parents, did you not really sort of, and they couldn't remember either. I think you all go into this little bubble and then you forget about it and move on. But the point is that by progressing, we have to talk about it and to make better partners. And to, you know, I think it's a very cultural thing, you know, all the Scandinavian countries, I kind of really look up to them because they really, you know, Marius being Norwegian, they really value the partnership in terms of maternity leave and all those.
Yeah, it's more shared, isn't it?
It's shared.
And they get 100 hours a week of childcare for free.
It's all these little things, and you see the knock-on effect that they're all just a lot more relaxed, and they're not these sort of, you know, hamsters on this wheel killing themselves, because it's in the early stages, it's all invested. And I know, you know, some countries, you know, can afford to do that, etc., and there's a lot of, you know, but
when you look into it, what's important, and then where do you pay for it later down the line? And I just, you know, because I've had that introduction to the Scandinavian kind of way of doing things, it just sort of makes sense. And I can see how it's so valuable. And the man suddenly becomes part of it, and then you have to share in it, because you both take off 6 months between you and you juggle it however you wish.
I am hopeful as well for a government that starts to take women's health more seriously. And I think it is starting to happen, you know, like the Ockenden report coming out. And I've seen, you know, I was actually assured in my birth debrief that actually they were putting more funding into the maternity wards. God, I've totally lost my train of thought, but childcare, I think, you know, childcare is becoming so expensive in this country that it's going to start being seen as not just a woman's problem, because actually it affects households, and also it makes more sense beneficially to have two people earning as opposed to one having to quit their job. So that's obviously a very long story for another time, but I thought it was a really good voice note, Izzy, so thank you so much for bringing it up. And I know that my pelvic health physio Marta did actually speak with someone from NCT about trying to put more postnatal care into the course, and at that point they weren't interested. But maybe that's something for everyone who has done NCT and wishes that it had been a thing. Maybe, I'm sure there's a place where you can offer feedback, and if enough of us bang the drum, so to speak. And I think we can also make an effort to stop saying things like down there and start talking a bit more and trying to break down the taboos of childbirth and recovery, and also reminding people that it's not just about losing weight, and there's so much more that is like the tip of the iceberg, because everybody is so different in their recovery, and weight probably doesn't even come into it at all. But again, that's a podcast for another time.
God, there's so much.
There is. But
5 hours, honestly, I will rambling.
Well, just a quick voice note. But honestly, I absolutely love hearing from you, and things like that are amazing. And maybe that is a podcast that I can look into. Maybe I can get someone from NCT on and rack their brains. So thank you so much to you guys for listening, and for messaging in, and for Cara for being an amazing guest. And I'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.